Hey everybody, welcome back to I've Got a Bad Feeling About This, a brand new spanking podcast about space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Ship Enterprise, its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds to seek out new life and new civilizations.
Wait, hold up.
Oh shit, yeah, huh, that's the wrong one.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, this is the Star Wars one, huh?
I thought this was the Spaceballs one. I'm very confused
now.
Oh,
I'm in the wrong call. Oops.
Oh, yeah, sorry. This is the Star Trek
this
one.
This is kind of awkward.
Anyways, we're talking about the next episode of Discovery. I'm just playing this. I'm taking a new podcast on everyone's favorite 9-movie triple trilogy saga, Star Wars. So this week we're forgoing the summary. We're getting rid of the summary for now. Just so there's so much to discuss this this episode. There's just so much brand new information we've gotten, considering what we've learned about the child, what we've learned about Ahsoka, what we learned about a couple of choice characters that'll be named later. But yeah, this is just one big spanking spoiler alert to kick off this episode.
Spoiler.
Because there's a lot going on this week. So first off, let's let the cat out of the bag, just like Filoni did to start this episode. Ahsoka makes her first appearance on live action screen. How was it? How do you feel about that, boys?
I loved it. I utterly loved it. I thought it was perfect, honestly. It lived up to my expectations and kind of went beyond it, you know? I was like, are they going to do her justice? And I feel like they did, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just really dope. Because then when I was watching, I was like, that's crazy. It's like we really met Ahsoka as like a childish young Padawan. And now look at her like a mature older character. It's like this is dope to see. Like she went from being a Jedi, like apprentice of Padawan, to like being close to a sort of master in the Jedi arts, even though she's not a Jedi, you know. But it was definitely dope to see.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree with that. I think we might talk about it, but I did see some people complaining. But I mean, really, I thought it was done well, and I enjoyed it.
We can get to, let's just do it now. Episode ratings, I'll have my hot take on Ahsoka in just a second here. But episode ratings, Omari, go ahead and start.
8.5.
Whoa, six. lower than
8.56. Yeah, 8.56.
Wow. Okay. Usual order is me next. I'm going to give it a 9. So just a shade under the Bo-Katan episode as well. Chuck?
I'd agree with a 9.
A lot of people are saying it's the best episode we've had yet, and I get that because of, like, the initial hype of the episode, but kind of redigesting it, I don't think it's one of the best episodes. Like, it had a lot of lore development, and I like that, but that doesn't always translate into a good episode. It was a good episode. I mean, a 9 is a strong score. Second highest score I've given this season. It wasn't as good as the Bo-Katan episode, quite frankly. The Bo-Katan episode actually probably had most of everything I'd want from a Mandalorian episode. So this is just a shade under Ahsoka on the live action screen, though. Let's get back to that. Rosario Dawson did a good job. She did a great job of capturing Ahsoka's mannerisms. She did a great job of capturing, maybe not so much her, but the choreographers, the fight choreographers, and the stunt doubles, perhaps. I'm not actually entirely sure if she does her own stunts or not. But they all did a fantastic job of staying true to the character's movements, which I feel like is something very hard to do when you look at animated to live action. The Night Owl troops did the same thing. So the fight choreography in the show continues to just be undefeated. And Rosario Dawson's performance as Ahsoka is just fantastic as well. I think this is a huge step as well for just the story building to have her come back. This is the first time we've ever confirmed she's still alive. This is the first time we've seen her since Rebels when she kind of disappeared. We obviously knew that she was around because Filoni had teased it. But this is the first kind of confirmation we're getting of that she is alive post-Rebels. We knew that, but just cool to get that confirmation. A lot of connections to Rebels this episode had. Don't know why I said that like Yoda, but let's talk a little bit about that big old name drop that they gave us and what that means for the show. Of course, once she beats Morgan Elsbeth, she name drops Thrawn. Where is your master? Where is Grand Admiral Thrawn? I knew who it was the second she said Grand. I was like, oh shit. Grand Admiral Thrawn. Because it wasn't going to be Grand Moff anyone, because Grand Moff Tarkin disploded in the Death Star, of course. And we haven't met another Grand Moff, so... Yeah, Grand Admiral Thrawn, Omar, you're a resident Rebel specialist, so how do you feel about this?
I don't know. I think it's definitely a really interesting idea to bring him back into the fold of the universe. But it also... I saw a lot of people saying that it kind of distracts from the main story of Mandalorian, because then it kind of draws back to Rebels, where you got Thrawn. So you're talking about Thrawn. You got to talk about Ezra, because they disappear together. And that kind of distracts from, like, the main... like story of Rebels in a way, but I like it. I like it because I think it was last week you were like, is there someone higher? Is there like a higher authority that he's reporting to? But then it's like, why would Ahsoka be pressing some random like leader of some like rogue faction instead of someone who's a part of the Empire? So it definitely raises more questions. But it's a good callback because he was a really great villain. Especially the way he was depicted in Rebels. Definitely one of my top favorite animated villains, just because it was cruel and it was just perfect to me.
Yeah, and of course Thrawn has an amazing history with Star Wars. He was a part of the Thrawn trilogy by Timothy Zahn way back when. Back when Legends was still the canon, he faced off with Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, so on and so forth. And we know... We see him continue to crop up, and it's just because, like Omar said, he's an amazing villain. He's honorable, but he's cruel, and he's about art, and he's about the art of war. He's just a very interesting bad guy, and one that we don't necessarily get to see in Star Wars a whole lot. I will say, like, most villains in Star Wars are pretty darn cookie cutter. Even looking at, like, Moff Gideon, maybe that's just because we haven't had enough development from him yet. But he's a pretty nothing person when we think about him. As a person, we don't really have anything that compels us. We just know he looks cool, and he has an army of dark troopers. And he talks scary. He scares me when he talks. Then we kind of get into Darth Vader, like, yeah, in the original trilogy, he's a pretty nothing villain, and, you know, we only get to build on that with Clone Wars and the prequels. Kylo Ren is another... okayly constructed villain, but then in the same trilogy you have Snoke, who was the worst constructed villain in Star Wars history. So Star Wars, maybe a lot like Marvel, has a history of having kind of subpar villains. Thrawn is not that. He is freaking fantastic. So I'm very hyped. Chuck, I don't know if you have a whole lot of thoughts on this, because I know we're both behind in our Rebel.
It's just it was interesting because obviously we've talked about that, having him incorporated. So when I heard that, it was like, oh boy. So it's interesting because I've seen some talk about him potentially being more of that being a spin-off series on his own instead of directly related to that. But obviously, as we've said several times, we don't really know what's going to happen next. So I think it's interesting. I'm curious to see what happens. And obviously, I guess now we have sort of someone... you know, higher up than, well, yeah, than Gideon, right? He's higher than him?
Yeah, Grand Admiral is the highest rank you can achieve.
Yeah.
Higher than Grand Marf. Higher than Grand Moth, actually. Which is interesting because Krennic was, like, his rival, and Krennic wasn't even a Moth. He was a director. I'm not actually sure where that ranks, because that's a pretty new Imperial thing. I don't think there has been another director since Krennic, so at least not canonically. But yeah, so the Thrawn name drop, it's interesting you bring that up, because yeah, there is this now this debate of, not even debate, but this speculation, which you guys know we love here. Is this for Mandalorian, or is this for a possible spinoff? I know there's been a lot of talk about a backdoor, this episode being kind of a backdoor pilot for an Ahsoka show. So I'm just wondering, like, is this all setting up something for Filoni to do on his own in a live-action sense? Or is it a continuation of Rebels that's been rumored for some time? If so, would that be animated? There's a lot of questions here, and I don't know how much we can answer, but there's a lot we can speculate about.
I feel like it's definitely going to be a setup for a different show. I feel like they wouldn't want to distract from The Mandalorian. It's called The Mandalorian. He got his own enemies. He got his own demons. And I feel like it's bringing in Thrawn and not bringing in Rebels in another a way would just be weird. So I feel like this is definitely, it's just a setup for another project that they're trying to do, which I'm excited for. But I definitely don't see this coming into The Mandalorian in any way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm kind of on the same page. Like, I don't think that this is something where we see Thrawn in live action, at least in a large capacity on The Mandalorian. I don't think, because he's not necessarily Mando's bad guy, you know. And like Omari said, we already have our own problems with Gideon and just Gideon. That's another thing about The Mandalorian. Not really any other overarching bad guys than Gideon. But interesting that if Grand Admiral Thrawn is still connected with the Imperial government in the Navy, he is technically above the chain of command on Gideon. So there might be some connection there. So it begs that question as well. Like, kill Gideon, who's next for the Rebels, not Mandalorian? Because I think once he's done with Gideon, I think he's done fighting the Empire for some time. At least I'd hope, because I'd love to see some cartel business. Cartels in Star Wars are something we do not delve deep enough into, but interesting, just overall interesting to get Thrawn in there. It really mixes up the politics of the Empire to know that he's still around, because the power vacuum would essentially be filled by him, because there's no Grand Moff, there's no Emperor, so he's next in line, essentially, to lead the Empire. So we also got a pretty huge reveal this week. I'm sure we all want to say it. We got a reveal as to what the child's name is. It's our little green beautiful boy.
Yeah.
If you didn't catch that,
his name's Grogu.
And hey, I already see a lot of people saying that name is stupid. And hey, maybe it kind of is. But also, we had a character named Yoda.
Exactly. Okay. Is Yoda not stupid?
Like, Yoda's pretty stupid.
Yeah, okay, so if we remove all Star Wars knowledge and we just take the word Yoda, can I say something really quick? I don't want to interrupt this segment here.
Go ahead.
This goes into something that's not Star Wars related, like with the way the Seahawks Stadium was named.
Oh yeah.
I feel like any time something is newly named, when everybody, oh, it's Baby Yoda, it's the child. Everyone, oh my god, this is gonna rant. Anyway, sorry.
Just go for it.
Anytime something like that is there's so much anticipation. Oh, what's his name? What's his name? Blah, 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 blah. So everyone's gonna they form their own ideas. They form oh, I want it to be this. I hope it's this, or you know, there's gonna be people who complain about shit like that. You know,
right?
I don't know. It makes sense to me. It's fine. You know, there's Yoda and there was Yaddle. Like,
yeah, why are we not getting on Yaddle's head?
When will I ever hear about Yaddle in my life? If I ever hear that word in my life, I'll give that person $10. You know,
it's so like it's that John you get soup with, you know? Oh, wait, no, that's a ladle. Nice.
It was pretty close. But, you know, I just think it's ridiculous how people just find a way to complain about stuff. I'm like, dude, you know, what do you expect his name to be? His name's not going to be Clarence.
Yeah. Oh my god, what's his name?
Unnecessary Clarence. It's Clarence. Stop it.
His real name's Clarence. Okay.
Clarence got real nice parents.
I just think it's
ridiculous. Whatever he says.
Yeah, I just think it's ridiculous to me, honestly.
Oh man, what if Baby Yoda's name was B-Rabbit? I would have liked that. Grogu's okay. That's an okay name. Yeah. I don't mind it. It's Star Wars-y. We've had so many stupid names in Star Wars that I think Grogu is acceptable. Honestly, Anakin is pretty stupid. That might actually be a name, though, so I'll be careful there.
I'm sure that's someone's name.
Oh, God, my dog just wants to bark so bad. Both of them. Hold on, I'm going to mute myself. You guys continue the conversation about stupid Star Wars names.
Shoot.
What's
the guy's name?
I don't know.
That Anakin pod races.
I'm back. Sebulba. That's a stupid
Sebulba,
name.
Sebulba, yeah. So, see what I mean? So, you know.
Hey, also, Boba Fett? Dumb name.
Boba.
Boba drink tea. That shit. Like, it's not a good name. So today, people getting on Grogu's head, that's dumb.
Yeah, just, you know, leave the little green guy alone, all right?
Yeah, it's a good name. It does sound astoundingly like Go-Gurt, which I saw somebody point out. And, hey, I'm okay with that. But let's talk a little bit about his backstory. We heard this week that he was raised on Coruscant in the Jedi Temple, which would make him, I guess, a youngling? Even though he's 50 years old, the oldest youngling I know. makes him the second cutest youngling, right after Gungi, who is cuter than Grogu, and everyone can fight me on that. You guys remember him, right? The little Wookiee Padawan? He rocked. I love that guy.
Sad to think that he's probably dead.
Sad to think that he's probably murdered. Dead. Bro, what if Gungi was the one who, like, saved Grogu? He, like, hit him away.
Don't hope. He's dead. Just imagine being spotted by Anakin.
Don't give me hope.
Don't do that. But yeah, so Grogu grew up in Coruscant, who he was trained by multiple different masters, so at this point we know a decent amount of the masters who existed at that time, so we could probably make a guess as to who trained him, but I'm less interested in that, and more interested about, we learned that when the Purge occurred, he was stowed away by some Jedi, who made sure he was safe until X time, where he... only knew darkness and was scared and afraid for like 30 years until Dan found him. So it's interesting to hear all this, and I'm wondering what your guys' thoughts are in terms of, do you think like this is too interconnected? Because I'm hearing that criticism a lot. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts.
No such thing as too interconnected, especially when it comes to Star Wars.
Right.
But I do agree, like, the universe is so big, especially in Star Wars, it's definitely easy to move away from the whole Skywalker saga. You know, it's hard to think that the whole universe is affected by all that. But, you know, I'm okay with it. It's not something I'm mad about.
Yeah, and there's also just the sense that, like, the Jedi can be disconnected from the Skywalkers pretty easily. There's entire branches that you can look at that have just been untouched by them. I mean, of course, the Purge was committed by a Skywalker, but if Grogu got away from the Purge, then there could be some disconnect there from the Skywalker saga. You could be looking at, like, just there's multiple places to diverge here, and I hope to God that we don't wrap back around to the Skywalkers. I don't think we need them. I think they're done. Let them rest. Grogu Skywalker, what's your name?
He just starts talking.
Grogu Skywalker.
I am.
Though, Bennett's was pretty good.
Skywalker. I am. I don't know. Oh, Hannah means family.
Yeah, Snitch. Stitch. What?
Oh, he's a snitch too.
But we just, I kind of agree that we're running a risk of having it be too interconnected. But I don't think we're there yet. I think Omari's kind of right. There's no such thing as interconnected. The Jedi are the most influential thing in the universe. Not like the universe, but like the
worlds.
Yeah, like the body of work that we have. Yeah. The Star Wars world. Jedi are pretty prevalent, and I think they'd be foolish to not have some sort of connection back to them. I know a lot of people wanted this show to be the standalone, this gunslinger is just on his own, and it still is that. But the second Grogu was on screen, you had to know that we were going this direction, and we were going to get to this point eventually. So I'm not hurt about it. I'm glad we're all kind of on the same page. I would have been a little angry if so. I wasn't feeling a debate today. So, yeah, and that's really, honestly, this was like the biggest part of the episode. There were a couple other things, and honestly, this was interesting because this is the second episode this season that the Mandalorian himself has taken kind of a backseat to a different plot. I'm glad we're kind of feeling like we're done with that now, because I mean, Din Djarin is probably one of the best original characters we've gotten in Star Wars since the Disney reboot. If not the best, I'll throw that out there. Because as cool as Poe Dameron and Kylo Ren and Finn and Rey are, we just didn't really get enough of them through three movies to compare them to someone like Jin or Ezra or Ahsoka.
Right? Like, why did we get a more lovable character in one season of a show than we did in
three movies? We don't even see the homie's face half the time.
Right? I mean, I guess that's the benefit of having the same director, right? That's switching.
Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau are like creative masterminds, and putting them together is ingenious.
That director list is just ridiculous.
It is pretty insane. There's an episode with Robert Rodriguez coming up, and he does Sharkboy and Lava Girl and Spy Kids, and also Machete Kills, and also Sin City. Dude has the weirdest directing repertoire of all time. Yeah,
that's kind of, I guess you could call it diverse.
He's adding The Mandalorian to it, which I think is hilarious. He was on, like, Jon Favreau's The Chef Show, and I almost could have guaranteed that right after they were done filming The Chef Show, they were like, hey, you want to come on and direct an episode of The Mandalorian? I don't know if it might even be next season. I don't even know if it's this season, but I know he's confirmed to direct at least one episode at some point. But that's besides the point. So we can kind of move into speculation now, unless you guys have any other points from the episode that you want to talk about.
Is there any background with that spear, or is it just a spear, like...
So, okay, the spear is interesting. The spear is interesting because I think this is just a theory. A game theory. A theory about how this is going to connect to the rest of the show. I think it's setting up letting the Mandalorian take on Moff Gideon. Because Beskar can take a lightsaber.
Interesting.
Bennett connections right here.
I can't really take full credit for this. I saw it on Instagram, and then
disappointment though.
But like when I was watching the episode when Ahsoka was fighting Elspeth, when they collided their things, I was like, oh, that's crazy, because I kind of forgot that Beskar can do that.
Yeah.
In fact, I think in the old canon, it was designed, like, Beskar was created to deflect lightsabers during the Mandalorian Jedi Wars. And that still might be canon, who knows. But when I saw that post on Instagram, I instantly clicked. I was like, oh shit, yeah, no, duh, they kept placing an emphasis on it because they're setting that up. Because otherwise he can't fight him. It'd be a really boring ass fight, because it'd be him shooting at Gideon and Gideon like deflecting it and getting closer and Din being like, ooh, flamethrower. So I think that's what that spear was all about. I don't actually know. I don't think it has any non-canonical legends roots or otherwise. But I think it's just setting up a fight between Din and Gideon.
One thought I had was like, okay, so who during the situation had enough time to go grab him, get him to safety? Because know the whole squad went to go confront the counselor. He killed all those guys. Obi-Wan gone. All the people were gone. So it's like, who could it be? And are they still alive? Where are they now?
So now that we're into speculation. That's a great question, because there's a lot of different variables here about timeline.
I feel like it was Yoda.
It could have been Yoda himself when he went into exile. He could have, I don't know, dropped Grogu off on the way.
Definitely feel like it was Yoda, purely for the fact that I feel like Yoda was the Jedi Master, close enough with the Force to know, like, oh yeah, some fuck shit's about to go down.
Right, but remember that he was like, he was off fighting Palpatine for like 45 minutes. Like, he had that whole thing where he was fighting in the council room when they were throwing shit at each other.
That fight disappointed me so much when I first watched that. I was like, hey yo, because I always looked up to Yoda. I was like, this is my guy. And then Yoda kind of got worked a little bit. I was like, man. I was so disappointed.
What's even more disappointing was that.
Whoa. Shit, Jesus. That?
Something fell over in my abode.
It's interesting to think about, because like Why of him, of all people? Like, hey, yo, we need to save Grogu. Keep it on the low, though. You know?
I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of different things you can play with here. There's, like, there's Yoda. Then there's Mace Windu. Because I mean, that's a theory now.
I feel like he wasn't really at the age to be trained with the other younglings.
Right, so
but he was also, like, mature enough to, like, probably learn a little bit, but I don't think he's been, like, to the level where he should be, like, where the other younglings were when they died.
Well,
so I feel like he was definitely in a...
I think they were probably not quite getting to lightsaber training, but they recognized, like you said, that he was had a deep connection to the Force.
Exactly. So it's like, I feel like he might, like, just because he's a special, like, race, special breed, he definitely was probably in a special situation, special area. So it's definitely possible because, like, yeah, he's 50, but he's still a child. Not even a child. Yeah.
And,
so,
like, it's pretty heavily implied that he's been there for quite some time as well. So just a lot of things. I wonder, like, who trained him, so on and so forth. But there is now some speculation as to who saved him. And I know Mace is actually a front runner for the fandom because, I don't know. It hasn't been teased at all, really. But it's been talked about that perhaps he could have saved him. And then there's also Jocasta Nu, because she survived the purge too, that was quote unquote recently revealed. I think it was actually about 2017 or so that it was revealed that she survived and had her own contingency of Jedi. Then there's also Cal Kestis, who obviously not, but maybe somebody else involved in that sect, not sect, but branch. Like story branch. There's just a lot. I don't know if we'll necessarily explore it, but the most compelling one to me has been it's just some random Jedi. I think that's probably the way we could go here.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely could just be some old Jedi that, you know, like how I remember during the episode of Clone Wars where Ahsoka's in the library and the bounty hunters break in. Mm-hmm. You know, like they just got old Jedis in the temple. I feel like it'd definitely be one of that where you're not really fit for combat or to be on the council anymore, you know, just an education role. I definitely think that could be it too.
Yeah, it could be like his caretaker or something was like, exactly. Oh god, the Empire's here, I gotta take him away.
Yeah, I feel like that would be the best thing to do, you know. Not everything needs to be special.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, that was pretty compelling to me, but it does serve like command some time out of our discussion to think about who it possibly could have been. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that was something I want to talk about, just because it's like, if it does indeed become somebody we know, it's just cool lore building, and it brings some light to their storyline. I would hate for it to be Mace, because that just means Mace saves a baby and then dies. It's like, huh? Or Mace survives, saves the baby, and abandons him. So I don't really know either way if I want that to happen. Speaking of Grogu, there's some interesting plot elements brewing. So at the end of the episode, since we foregoed the summary, or forewent the summary, I should say, I actually don't know which one's correct there. I'll just tell that Ahsoka refuses to train Grogu, so it's a foregone conclusion. She just is like, nope. Mando brings him to her, and she's just like, nah.
I mean, that's fair, though.
It is fair.
She's not a Jedi.
That is something that we could have brought up in the episode discussion as well. She's not a Jedi. She's also seen what attachment can do to a Jedi in the worst way possible. She knew Anakin better than probably anyone else probably better than anybody else. Maybe a tie with Padme. But she saw what fear and attachment did to him, so she would hate for that to happen to Grogu. Especially because Grogu could probably be more powerful than Anakin, because he's the Yoda race, and we don't know everything they can do. So, it's completely fair, yeah. But she says, I won't train him, but you should go to Tython. Go to the old Jedi Temple there, and Tython we'll talk about in a little bit. But go to the old Jedi Temple on Tython, have Grogu reach out through the Force. And if he does, if he chooses to reach out for the Force and not stay with you, a Jedi will come.
I feel like, to me personally, as a watcher of Rebels, I feel like that's some lazy writing. Because anytime they had issues, like, oh, let's go to a Jedi temple. That's see what true. Happens.
It is like, a oh, it is
Jedi Temple time.
A big plot device. That was like, what, 2/3 of everything that happened in Fallen Order?
So you know, I definitely feel like it would have been more interesting.
Go to the old place where the old people did their old things, and perhaps you will unlock a secret. And then the space whales will come. No digs on Rebels, but hey, space whales are kind of silly.
What?
All right.
But
space whales.
So if, okay, this is kind of a two-parter, and I think we should play both sides just because we have the time. First, will Grogu reach out to the Force, or will he just stay with Mando? I have my own opinion here. I think he's just going to stay with Mando. I think he's going to start to, and Din's going to be like, all right, kid, go for it. And then he's going to, like, stop and, like, waddle over to the Mandalorian's leg.
I think if he stays with the Mandalorian, I think there's going to be a time skip next season.
I do, too. I agree with you.
If he doesn't, though.
That's how I'm feeling. But if he doesn't, then we just continue on linear. Yeah.
But it's like, you don't want to see him as a child forever. The he could finally confront this confrontation with
Gideon
could definitely be something that could be handled this season easily.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
So it's like, I don't see him staying. Like, yeah, him being a child's cool, but it's like, I don't see like a third, fourth season without any more development coming from him.
Exactly. And Grogu may or may not, like, contribute to the fight with Gideon, but there's no fucking way that Gideon's gonna pull up and throw hands with a baby.
You know what? Now that I think about it, even if there was a time skip, it would have to be a fat time skip.
Yeah, like, Gideon would be dead by the time Baby Yoda could fight him.
Yeah, so honestly, I think he would just leave the show, if anything.
So, I mean, it's gotta get resolved this season, in my opinion, especially if that goes that course. But, so, for the sake of entertainment, what happens if Grogu reaches out through the Force, makes contact with a Jedi? The second part of this question, and the branch that just has a little more speculation to it, who pulls up? Who comes? What Jedi are left? Because Ahsoka seemed to say that there were more Jedi than we think. She was like, there aren't a lot of us left. But that implies that there's more than, like, her, barely, who's not even really a Jedi, Ezra, who's missing, and Luke, who's... we don't know what Luke Skywalker's doing right now. He's doing some Luke stuff.
I mean...
And then maybe Cal, if Cal is still alive. I just don't care for that character at all. But if Cal's still around, maybe him.
Oh, I feel like... It made no sense to me that they could take off the whole Jedi Order, though. Like,
that's true, and obviously there's remnants.
You guys gotta have people, like, all over the place, and they just went into hiding, and they successfully hid. Like, I don't believe that it just went down like that, where it's like, oh, yep, Luke's the only one.
Sure.
Like, and I don't think it should go.
I don't know. I have such a hard time with adding more Jedi. I think exactly. Ahsoka was a natural course, and like I like that we had her here. Chuck, I don't know. What are your thoughts on this one?
I agree with that. I mean, as much as I like Mace Windu and Samuel L. Jackson, I feel like this show, they do a good job of, like I said before, I feel like this show does a pretty decent job of mixing things up, and I feel like there will be something that maybe we weren't expecting to happen. I mean, I don't know. I find it really... I think it'd be really hard to just have... not to get away from the actual question, but I find it hard to be like, oh yeah, Grogu's just gonna dip. He's just gonna find somebody else, you know, regardless of who it is, and dip. Because everybody, you know... I find it hard to believe that that'll happen just because of what they've built with them, but I also understand that shows can do that, you know? Mm-hmm. So, personally, if I'm making a bet, I'm going to say it's someone we haven't met before. Or that we don't have, you know, much background on. Or, you know, not really a guy like Mace or someone that's, you know, popular. So, I would just say it'd be someone new, I guess, or just somebody that's not as... Not like a mainstream Jedi, I guess.
How about this? He goes to the temple. He reaches out to the Force. Inquisitors pull up, try to kill him.
Oh, shit.
Because it's like, even if he does do that, like, what Jedi in their right mind is going to be like, yeah, it's safe for me to come out again.
Yeah, this is good. This is good. I'll head out.
This
isn't
a trap.
I
like, most of them giving up hope.
Today. My biggest... My biggest wish is that it's not Luke Skywalker. I don't think they'll do it. But if it is...
No need to wheel Mark Hamill out again.
He's doing so much other stuff for himself now. Just let him get away from Star Wars for now. Like, it's fine. And I don't know. I don't even know how comfortable I am with Ezra coming, because that just makes it feel like we're watching Rebels Season 6. Or 5? I don't actually know what season it ended on. But it just feels like we're watching another season of Rebels at this point, centered around a new guy named Din. So, like, I would love it if just no Jedi come anymore. We're done with a Jedi for now. Unless it's Ahsoka, I'm cool with her. Because she's not really a Jedi. She's just a fun, new, original character that we've gotten from Dave Filoni and who he has a big connection with. But a lot of people are speculating that Luke's coming. I would hate that. That'd be so stupid. Because that would just mean we know what's going to happen to Grogu. Because that means Luke pulls up, he's like, "Hi, I'm going to take Grogu to Jedi school." We know what happens.
Okay, bye-bye. Jedi school. I'm emo sad and depressed. My dad and mom. Oh, I'm Kylo Ren. Oh, Knights of Ren. Let me make a waste. Sorry.
Dude, was that a Joji song? and so we get to think about Typhon a little bit. Typhon is like a bad guy from Roman mythology. Typhon is a planet from the old MMO, not the old MMO, the kind of old MMO, the Old Republic. It has the roots of the Jedi are based there when they were still called the Jedi or something like that. The ancient Jedi founded the order, the new order, there like 35,000 years before the Death Star happened. So it's got some roots in some old legend stuff. Of course Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau were like, "Oh, well, let's make him go to Typhon, why not?" I'm excited for that planet. I think it's cool. There's some cool history attached to it. We've only seen it in the new canon a couple times. I think it was in a Dr. Aphra comic book where her and Vader go there to look for some relic, because that's like Indiana Jones Star Wars stories. But it's interesting to get that little tidbit of connection again, because I think if anything this show's been doing, it does a really good job of starting to meld some of the legend stuff we used to have with the new stuff and connecting them, so we still kind of have threads of legends seeping their way into the main canon again. I mean, obviously Thrawn's a huge deal, but we saw the HK droids, which haven't been really mentioned since the Old Republic, or Knights of the Old Republic, when they were HK-47 droids, and then Dark Troopers is another one. So, just some overall really cool stuff. But my question is, so we have 3 episodes left this season. 6, 7, 8. When do we get there? Do we feel like this is the next episode story arc? Do we feel like this is the final 2 episode story arc like we did last season? And if so, what should we expect from the next episode?
I think we get an answer about the fate of Grogu, and then it comes down to Gideon.
So, do you think that this is going to be like a trilogy of episodes that completes this story arc?
I think this whole, like, Grogu, like, his storyline of, like, because, you know, he got that mission, and then the way I see the Mandalorian is, like, there's 2 things going on.
Right.
The child, and then Moff Gideon. Right. And I feel like we're about to see the end of the story of the child, at least for right now. Because that was just a mission that he got. Randomly, like, yo, let's go trying to find the Jedi. And
yeah, you're right. This is definitely
the end of that line.
He did technically complete it at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering... And there's also the Bo-Katan story arc that we haven't necessarily wrapped yet. And I don't know if that's a Season 3 question or a maybe Episode 7 and 8 question. Like, do we deal with Moff Gideon a little bit on Typhon? And then we go over to Mandalore and finish dealing with him? There's just a lot of weird questions here.
How many episodes do we have left?
3. So there's a lot of unanswered questions for 3 episodes.
I don't know. I feel like I want to say, like, Mandalore. Oh, wait a minute. Because how long did the build-up for last season's thing come? Was that 3 episodes or 2 episodes?
2 episodes. Because episode 6 was... what was it? Was episode 6 the one on the prison ship? Or was that episode 5?
I think that was 5. I don't know. I feel like
Another the prison barge was episode 6.
Oh, it was? Gotcha. Yeah. It's my favorite. I don't know. I would go. I would say it'd be another 2-episode build up. Honestly,
that's what I'm feeling.
I think we get Mandalore, take back party time. In those, but for what's next in this one, I mean, I don't really have a clear answer. I mean,
and I wonder if Typhon is next episode, and Typhon isn't as big as a story point as we think. Like,
yeah, that could be like first 5-10 minutes. Oh, all right, you're not going away. Maybe even
like it's like 30 minutes, and the last 17 minutes is Gideon going to Mandalore and or some. I don't know. Like, I'm thinking we have to connect to Mandalore at some point this season.
Pretty soon.
It could be next season. I wouldn't care as long as we do it eventually. This is the Mandalorian, like Omari likes to tell us every week.
Yeah.
So, like, we gotta go to Mandalore at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
or at least the moon of Mandalore.
At least Concord Dawn. Like, you gotta... I guess probably we're not going to, like... I don't know. We're probably not going to Mandalore itself, but we might go to Concord Dawn. Because we gotta flip Mandalore back to the good guys.
I don't really think there's like true like good or bad guys in Star Wars.
You sound like that guy in episode
DJ.
It's DJ. The episode with the father, the son, and the daughter of Clone Wars that really still has me so confused.
I know, but listen.
True bad guy.
He's
got the stupid lisp.
He had the lisp and the stutter, which was just like, it was like no good fake because no one stutters like that.
Hey, we don't make fun of people with stutters here.
We're not making fun of people with stutters. I'm just saying that was like
weird. I just thought that character was bizarre.
I don't think anybody stutters like he stutters. I don't know if they brought in a speak pathologist for that. It doesn't feel like they did. It was just a bad character, dude. What a dumb character. And also, the Empire is bad. They're racist and they're xenophobic.
Yeah, so, you know...
So they're terrible people. And also, Palpatine sucks, and I wish that he'd just stay dead.
Lightning finger guy.
Freaking gunman. So, I don't know why I called him gunman.
He never uses a gun.
So uncivilized.
All right.
A more civilized weapon. Wait, what is it? A more whatever he says in episode 4. Whatever. I can't think of that quote right now. It's too late at night. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Mandalore has to be coming soon. Omari, I don't know what you think about Mandalore. It feels like it's going to be Typhon or Mandalore for the last 3 episodes at some point.
I don't think it's going to be Typhon for multiple episodes. I definitely think that's something that can be accomplished in one.
Yeah. Especially if, like, Moff Gideon... Because we know he's following him... Because of last episode, the episode before this week's ending with the scary the
tracker,
man, the scary man telling the scary girl that they had found the Mandalorian. The scary girl tells the big scary man, who's surrounded by a bunch of other big scary men, that they know where the Mandalorian is. So we know that.
Well, and then the guy on Navarro said that he put a tracker on his ship.
Right. So we know that they know that where Mandalorian is right now. So it's that's got to be coming soon.
Ooh. Well, that's interesting, too, because I don't know if they have any knowledge about what Typhon is.
Right.
So they could be like, hey, yo, he going to Typhon. We need to go now.
It begs the question, like, I don't know. So we know that Moff Gideon's a scholar of Mandalorian culture. It also begs the question if he knows a lot about the Force, and if he knows a lot about the Emperor's connection with the Force, because I don't actually know how much people knew about that. Because in the first movie, Episode 4, Tarkin was kind of the main bad guy in some ways. They only briefly mentioned the Emperor in Episode 4, and then Episode 5 is when we kind of see him. And then finally, of course, episode 6 is where we get to see him full body. But it begs the question, was his use of the Force common knowledge? I think Battlefront 2 actually explores that a little bit. Because I think it's a shock to... Oh god, what is the main character's name? I want to call her Idina Menzel so much, but that's the woman who voices Elsa,
Idin Versio?
Yeah, Idin Versio. I think she's pretty taken aback when she learns that the Emperor was all up in the Force biz. So I wonder if Moff Gideon has any connections to the Force. Not saying he's a Force user. But he might be, because lightsabers are pretty tricky. Like, not just anybody can use one. So, as we saw with Finn, he got worked.
Dang it.
So, there's just some, interesting, interesting things with Gideon, and I don't know if we have a lot to say about Gideon. I think he's done. I think he's gonna die. I think Din's gonna work his butt.
Wow.
And then gift the Darksaber back to Bo-Katan. But that's just my thought. Anybody else?
Definitely a possibility. I could definitely see that being something that happens. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't know. I feel like that's too predictable for the Mandalorian. Or Dave Filoni.
Yeah. Chuck?
You know, I don't know. I feel like Bo-Katan like has to get involved at some point.
Right.
But I don't think she'll be the one to take down Moff Gideon.
I sure hope not.
I feel like I feel like it's not going to be her. I feel like it has to be Din. I don't know who else would be there to do that, you know. So
I almost felt like they were setting up like a triple fight with Din, Ahsoka, and Moff.
Oh.
Like, Ahsoka and Din teaming up to fight Moff Gideon. Of course, that'd be pretty dumb, because Moff Gideon would get the hands, because Ahsoka's, you know, Ahsoka. She, like, stood up to Vader for a good amount of time, and Vader, you know, was Vader. So, there's some questions there as well, as to, like, is somebody going to help Din in that final fight? Is he going to build his super team to go fight Moff Gideon? Like, are we going to see Bo-Katan, Ahsoka... Maybe Cobb Vanth, hopefully. I really want to see Cobb Vanth again. Please get Timothy Olyphant back for another episode, because I like Cobb Vanth a whole lot. And Greef Karga and Gina Carano. I keep forgetting her name now. It's one or the other.
Cara Dune.
Cara Dune.
Yeah.
Like, are we going to see those people come back to fight Moff Gideon and his evil men? I hope we don't go back to Navarro, because I'm kind of getting tired of that set.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, there's just a lot of different variables here about fighting Moff Gideon, and it makes sense that we don't have a lot of answers, because he's kind of shrouded in mystery, isn't he?
Yeah. He definitely is, and it's not in a way where it's like he's a bad character, though.
Right. I wish they'd give us some breadcrumbs, you know? Like, they haven't given us a whole lot in the way of learning anything about him, which is unfortunately leaning towards him becoming a more two-dimensional character, like we've seen with a couple other Star Wars villains, and I hope he doesn't go that way. He's already made himself a more threatening, more compelling villain than Snoke ever will be. I just hope they make him a little more compelling, so he can kind of burst in that upper echelon of Maul and Thrawn and Vader. Hard to do, but I think it's possible. So we have in terms of speculation, so yeah, we've already talked about what's going to happen next episode. It almost feels time to think about the next season. I don't want to jump the gun on that.
But time skip.
You think it's a time skip, for real?
Yeah, for sure.
This season and next season? Or
yeah, it could be I think it could be something that happens like where we see them deal with Moff Gideon, and I actually don't see it being time skip. I could see it maybe being 5 years, maybe 6 years.
Perfect.
Or something.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, no, I
But I mean, I, okay, also though, you have to be really careful, cuz you don't want to start to step on the toes of sequels.
Ooh, you're right. Because it's weird, like, looking at the numbers for all these, like, movies, right? And thinking, oh, this wasn't, like, hundreds of years. This was, like, what, 40, 60 years?
Yeah, like, total from prequels to sequels, it's, like, 100 years or something.
Yeah, maybe. So, like, someone who was really old could live through that. You know, that was, like, nothing in the time of Yoda. So, like, it's weird to think about that. So, I think 5 or less isn't a bad time frame, honestly, because you're right, you don't want to go too far and think, oh yeah, you're getting a little close to the other ones, you know.
And I'm almost worried that the show is taking, it's like, it's starting too many threads. I don't feel like Mandalorian is a 7-season show. I feel like this is a 3-season, maybe, like, as much as I hate to see this show ending anytime soon, I see it being maybe 5 seasons. That's like the
upper limit. I mean, with what we have right now, yeah, I mean, I don't know, because, you know, bounty hunting's a complicated profession, you know, it's like, that's great and all. You know, it's like, what other lanes? We've got Grogu. Right. You know, we've got Grogu. We've got Moff Gideon. Grogu and Moff Gideon, I feel like, are two big, big apples here, right?
And obviously, so I don't know. We've seen... What was that? Sorry.
Oh, no. I don't know what else, you know. At this point in time, we don't really have much outside of those two. You know,
I would love to see him fight the cartel, because the cartel is so cool.
Are we talking about, like, the Hutts here?
There's, like, the Hutts, there's the Black Sun, there's...
Okay, yeah. I was confused at first. Okay.
Whatever that one dude from frickin' Daredevil, I want to say, but that's not right. Solo was called?
Wait, which dude?
Dryden Voss.
Yeah, Dryden
Voss. Oh, yes.
The Syndicate, I think they're called. No, they're called the Syndicates, not the Cartel. That's why I'm being so confusing.
We need to see more scum and villainy going on.
I'd love to see more scum and villainy, because that's, I feel like, some of the biggest...
Who is that again? Oh, that's Paul Bettany. That's right.
Yeah, Paul Bettany, but he's dead now. Because who killed him?
Oh,
Kira?
Oh, yeah, Kira.
And then she joined, like, Maul. And that's, like, going nowhere. I don't even know why they did that. That, to me, aged so poorly, because now we're like... What?
Is there another one? Or...
Is there going to be a Solo 2? Which apparently there's confirmed to not be a Solo 2. So it's like, what were you setting up there?
It's like, were you trying to ask for a second one? Or
It almost felt like they were just keeping it open?
Yeah, probably. Which is disappointing, though, because it would be interesting to see what happens.
But I feel like next season we got to break away from the Empire. I hope we start leaning towards the Syndicates and Din... getting involved with them. I think they dropped one of the Syndicate names last episode, or the episode with Greef Karga. So yeah, last episode, he didn't say the Black Suns, he said, like, the Black Somethings, who were terrorizing that part of Navarro because of the Imperial. They weren't terrorizing them, they were just like, I'd rather get to the Imperial base than before they do. So interesting that they've given some nods to Syndicates. I hope the Syndicates come into play, because they're one of the more cool parts of Star Wars that we just haven't really touched on yet outside of Solo. And board games. Board games like to explore them a lot. And the board games, I think, technically are canon. So that's interesting. But yeah, we next season is interesting, because they got to be wrapping up the Moff Gideon. I don't think Moff Gideon's a 3-season bad guy. Heck, I didn't even think he was gonna be a 2-season bad guy. But here we are. I was really hoping. I'm still holding out hope that they can wrap everything up within the next season. Like, I got 3 episodes to wrap up about 3 pretty big story arcs, so. They could just do that, you know what I mean?
I feel like that's attainable.
It just feels like it'd be crowded if they did that, but we'll see.
I don't know. I feel like this is something they could really flesh out with Moff Gideon, though. You know, you can really do more with this character. The potential is there.
Right.
The acting choice was there.
Absolutely.
So it's like, it would be crazy if this was someone we didn't expect to last that long and he became something greater, you know?
Cause that could happen, with Thrawn in Rebels.
Yeah, or with a bald dude in the new trilogy, you know, he was less than expected.
Who is bald dude
in... Oh, you mean Snoke?
Trilogy? Yes.
Oh, he was less than expected. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Dude, this is the second time on our podcast that we've forgotten who Snoke was.
Everybody beat up on
very
Snoke.
Irrelevant.
I don't know very if that's because, like, I mean, I don't know if that last time we did it was in the episode we didn't publish or not, but, God, Snoke sucks, dude. What a terrible villain. We've said that maybe 4 times this episode, too.
All my homies hate Snoke.
It's not that I hate him, it's just I'm disappointed.
I'm and very they got like a knockout actor to play him too. Andy Serkis is he's a G.
I'd be expecting so much more from him.
That's how I felt about like Benicio del Toro too. Like when they cast him in Star Wars,
I was like, really?
And then it's DJ and he's like, "Don't join, kid." And I'm like, "What is this? What is this?" Stupid.
You win some, you lose some. I'm like, okay, there it goes.
And then he bye-bye. Walks away all cockily, and we never hear from him again, and they much all but confirmed he's not going to be in a movie ever again.
No relevance, nothing.
No relevance.
He's in the movie for, like, what, 20 minutes?
And he just ruins everything. He makes the plot go longer than it needs to be. Holy crap, what a bad villain, what a bad character.
We if could there's... just sit here and dissect every single
movie. Oh, trust me, we'll probably do that. We'll probably do that.
Oh, wait, yeah, we were going to go over all the movies.
When The Mandalorian's done. I have so many plans for us when The Mandalorian's done. God. But for now, this is a Mandalorian podcast, pretty much.
Yay. Star Wars podcast.
Star Trek podcast.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry. I didn't get my Spock ears out.
Omari, live long and prosper. Give us this outro.
And this has been another episode of everyone's favorite Star Trek Discovery podcast. I have a bad feeling about this. I'm your host, one of your hosts, Omari,
Chuck,
and Bennett.
Live long and prosper.